This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
Today's khatir is going to be about a phenomenon that has swept the country for the last few years. And it is something that our teenagers, especially our youngsters, are involved in, and even many of us are caught up in this. And I wanted to give it a perspective from the Islamic lens. And that is what is known as the cancel culture. What is known as the cancel culture. All of you youngsters are familiar with the cancel culture. Perhaps the elders are not fully aware of what the cancel culture is. The cancel culture is a unique recent phenomenon, less than five years old, in which groups of people, society, deems specific famous people in particular worthy of being censured or being isolated or ostracized. So they launch campaigns and they say this person should lose their job, this person should not be invited. And so large campaigns are done and the people are cancelled. The people are taken off of the public eye. And this is a psychological empowerment to those who typically didn't have power. What is happening is that, especially in the last decade or so, groups that have been marginalized have discovered a very powerful tool, and that is the internet. That is social media. Groups that have been downtrodden in the past, a simple example, and again, not to be too contentious, but it's to be factual here, a simple example, the reality of molestation and sexual exploitation, right? In the workplace, amongst the Hollywood elites and whatnots, people were taking advantage, of lots of actresses, for example. There's no power. What are they going to do? They're not going to go to the police. The police can do nothing. So what has happened is they've used this tool to come together. Look at that famous Harvey Weinstein guy, right? The guy that was well known for doing this. Groups of people have come together and power is now on their side. They can now be judge, jury, executioner against people who should be tried by an actual court, but that's not going to happen. And so the public now has a tool that they did not have before. And it is, as I said, a reversal of the tables, where those that didn't have any power, the masses, actually at times are more powerful than the ruling institutions. They can literally get tenured professors fired. They can get some of the most famous actors and actresses, some of the most famous politicians, some of the most powerful political men on earth or women on earth. They can get them literally ostracized. Things are very interesting in this regard. So it's a social pressure to publicly shame an individual that the public deems worthy of shaming, and then to penalize this person. How? Financially or PR or even more than this, so that a message is sent. What is the message? Oh, rest of you society, don't do like this person. Oh, rest of you out there, this is not the role model that we should have. Now, it really is, by the way, a very effective means of empowerment. And it has the potential to be a force of good. But as we are all painfully aware, it also has the potential to be a very chaotic force and a very evil force. And it can easily be flipped around, and it has been flipped around to become a force of evil, a force of division. And unfortunately, our own youth and our own, Muslim congregations are getting involved in this cancel culture for our own internal causes. So in today's brief khatira, I wanted to take this psychological, sociological phenomenon and examine it through the lens of the Sharia. What are some of the key factors that we need to be aware of when we understand it? Because in the end of the day, canceling is a tool. I am not saying it is all haram, but like all tools, like all effective means, we have to look at it from the lens of Islam and not from the lens of modern culture, right? So what are some of the things we need to look at? First point, point number one, we have to be careful that this cancellation culture does not become our main focus. Because when that happens, we fall into a very clear Islamic error. What is that error? Concentrating on the mistakes of others rather than your own mistakes. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not follow the mistakes of the believers. لا تتبعوا عورات المؤمن. Do not follow the mistakes of the believers. Because whoever follows the mistakes of the believers, Allah Azza wa Jal will follow his mistakes. And Allah will humiliate him even if he's covered in the privacy of his house. One of the biggest issues of the cancellation culture is it gives you a sense of ego. That I am better than that person. And I have to show the rest of the world that person is evil. And we emphasize the faults of others in our sharia. I'm not saying we ignore the faults of others, but the emphasis, my emphasis should be my sins. I should be more worried about my sins than the sins of other people. One of the students of Imam Malik, the generation of Imam Malik, he made a famous remark. He said, I grew up in an era where people concentrated on their own mistakes rather than the mistakes of others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered their mistakes from the eyes of other people. But my generation, they're concentrating on the mistakes of others rather than their own mistakes. So Allah is revealing their own mistakes for the rest of the people. Subhanallah, it's a very profound reality. Concentrate on the mistakes of others. Don't make it your main focus to go follow the latest scandal, the latest gossip, the latest innuendo, the latest drama. No, we follow our own mistakes more than the mistakes of others. Point number one. Point number two, even if you come across a mistake, we have to consider the Islamic principle of satr, covering the mistakes of our brothers and sisters. And this is a very, very simple point. Wallahi, it is not controversial. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to be as explicit as I can. No matter what sin you have uncovered from your brother or sister, as long as that sin is personal and not affecting the broad public, a personal sin, you have no right to expose that personal sin in front of the public. Now, yes, if the person is, astaghfirullah, harming innocent people, that's a different category of sins. We're talking about a personal sin. We're talking about a slip up in his own or her own personal life. Something they did in their private life that is not affecting any other people. It's not preying on innocent people. You have no right. This is the default. And the exceptions are very few. Unfortunately, we emphasize the exceptions and not the default. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, again, these are hadith that are so much against the cancel culture. Whoever covers the faults of his brother in this world, Allah will cover his faults on the day of judgment. And whoever exposes the faults of his brother in this world, Allah will expose his faults on the day of judgment. And Allah of his names is As-Sittir, means he loves to cover the faults of people. As-Sittir, Allah does not want to expose the faults of others. So why are you exposing the faults of other people? Even if your brother, your sister made a mistake, made an unwise comment, made a derogatory joke, it's not your business to go and tell the whole world they did that. Correct them privately. Tell them one-on-one. But for you to post or for you to make a big issue about this, this goes against the akhlaq of the religion, unless the crime they have done, they're embezzling money, they're stealing from innocent people. No doubt. Now you need to make a bigger case. But a private sin, the rule is satr. Point number three, what happened as well to the concept of amana, or keeping the secrets of a conversation? A lot of times these scandals that take place, they involve private recordings in a gathering. They involve somebody taking out a phone and from the bottom of the room just recording. Nobody's looking at this, right? And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-majalisu bil amanat. When you are sitting in a gathering, this is an amana. You cannot tell what is happening. And there are two different sins. The sin of ghiba, the sin of doing something bad, and the sin of namima, which is to take that private sin and make it public. Two separate sins. Suppose somebody made a crude joke. Suppose somebody backbited. Suppose somebody was racist in a private gathering. That is a sin. For you to record and then to namima, to spread it, this is another sin, separate and distinct from the first sin. And the first sin is on the one who did it. The second sin is on you for spreading it. And that's why the sin of ghiba is different than the sin of namima. Ghiba, the one himself says something he shouldn't say. Namima, the one who heard takes what you have said and goes to other people. That's namima. In English, we call it tattletaling. In the modern cancel culture, we tattletale not to our friends, to social media immediately. In fact, all of you youngsters are aware, there are entire TV programs on various channels, I don't want to mention these names, that are dedicated to gossip and tattletale, that are dedicated to, you know, finding out the latest that somebody secretly recorded, something happened. Whatever happened to the fact that it's amana, what happens in a private gathering. And our Prophet ﷺ warned, whoever eavesdrop on a person, knowing that they don't want them to hear this, Allah Azza wa Jal will pour molten fire of Jahannam into their ear. You're eavesdropping, you're secretly recording. It is not allowed in our Sharia to secretly record. Again, this is the default. Don't quote me the exception, the 1% it might be allowed. The default, it is not allowed. So, secret recordings or namima or naql, yani carrying the tattletale, all of this is a sin on the one who does it, and that is a separate sin from what the first person has done. And the cancel culture embraces namima and embraces secret recordings, which is against the Sharia. Point number four of the principles we need to look at, husna dhan. A lot of times, a slip up happens, ambiguous wording happens, maybe not the most wisest phrase. A lot of times you're in a gathering and, you know, maybe, you know, an ambiguous word was said. And to read in the worst rather than the best is a part of the cancel culture. To literally find the most derogatory meaning or the most nasty interpretation and to run with it immediately, this too goes against our Sharia. We know that husna dhan is a part of iman. We know, as the Sahaba said, that find 70 excuses for your brother. And if you cannot find an excuse, then say to yourself, maybe my brother has an excuse I cannot think of. This is what our Sharia teaches us. Suppose they made an ambiguous statement. Think good thoughts about it rather than think evil thoughts about it. This is husna dhan. Point number five, even if it is unequivocal, a clear mistake was made, something crude or rude or racist or something misogynistic was said, or a clear sin occurred. This is now, you know, this person has done sin and you are a witness to this. Whatever happened to the concept of forgiveness? Whatever happened that, okay, a person does mess up. We all mess up. I mean, again, one of the problems and the only reason the cancel culture is happening now is because of the proliferation of iPhones and social media, and you can record everything and videos are everywhere. Can you imagine if everything you ever said as a teenager was recorded? Wallah, alhamdulillah, I thank Allah that, you know, the iPhones were not around when I first started giving my khutbahs when I was a fiery 19, 20-year-old. Alhamdulillah, I have enough to deal with when I was a fiery 27-year-old. I can't even imagine what I have to face if I was a 19-year-old and the khutbahs were recorded. Because I was giving khutbah since I was 16 years old back in the day. There was no recordings back then of khutbahs. Nobody had these iPhones. They didn't have these recordings. I'm asking you, can you imagine if every tweet from your teenage years, every dumb joke you made as a 15-year-old, if this were recorded until you're 40, 50 years old? We need to understand the cancel culture literally unearths mistakes that maybe a 40, 50-year-old made when they were 17, 15 years old. A famous professor at a prestigious university, engineering professor, lost their job because of an article they wrote when they were an undergraduate in the early 90s. Somebody somehow uncovered it. He was a world-renowned professor, and it was not a very smart article. It was an undergraduate saying that men are better engineers than women, something like this, and women should not be in engineering department. I'm not joking, this is exactly what it was. This is back in the early 90s, you know, third wave feminism is coming. There's a debate going on that women should be teachers, men should be engineers, and this 20-year-old young man, I'm not saying he's wrong, I'm not saying he's right. He wrote an op-ed in his local newspaper. Now he's an established professor of engineering at a prestigious university. And he goes, guys, I wrote this and I was 19 years old. Cut me some slack. No. For the rest of his life, he got canceled, got lost, fired from the job, and on and on and on. There are examples that come up every few days, every few weeks, of a person who made a mistake 15, 20 years ago, and that's it. No mercy. From where can we Muslims take this culture? And imagine, a'udhu billah, if this cancel culture were applied to us when we're about to enter Jannah. Imagine if we were caught because of one mistake that we made. A'udhu billah, ma lakum kayfa tahkumun. How can we as Muslims judge a single mistake made whenever it was made, as a lifetime. And that's why I quoted a hadith last week, I'll quote it again, that our Prophet ﷺ said that the people who are of dignity and respect, cut them some slack when they make a mistake. This is a hadith in Abu Dawood, right? That if somebody makes athara, he falls, and he's a person of muru'ah, he's a person of integrity, and you find one mistake, cut them some slack. This is a hadith. Why? Because a person who has a habit of committing sins is not like the one who slipped up once. This is a hadith our Prophet is telling us. You judge a person by his overall character. The cancel culture is the exact opposite. They want to find the impeccable, the elite, the best, and they want to find one mistake so that they can say, oh, this guy is totally wrong. This is not our sharia. Even if we find a mistake, where's the concept of rahmah and maghfirah? Where's the concept of moving on from that? So this is the issue of forgiveness. The next issue, point number six, that is the goal punishment of the sharia, or is the goal rehabilitation? Do you want to just punish, or do you want to facilitate that this person learns from the mistake and comes back to being a better person? In our sharia, it's rehabilitation. It's not punishment. As for the cancel culture, they want to just punish. And they want to feel happy that they punished a person. What will punishing because of a mistake of 15 years ago accomplish? Rather, it should be rehabilitation, acceptance of a mistake, and moving on. That is what our sharia demands. So we have here a mob mentality. You know, if you back in the day, you know, in this country, there would be these witch mobs, right? Somebody is accused of being a witch. The whole city, oh, there's a witch, burn the witch, burn the witch. The whole city goes door to door saying we have to burn the witch. This is exactly what is happening with the cancel culture. They discover one mistake of one person and khalas, an entire lifetime of good is forgotten. This is another problem of the cancel culture. The next point, I think on point number seven now. The next point, point number six would be, who made you judge, jury, and executioner? Really? Who put you in charge? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you that right? That I'm gonna decide that this person should not be invited anymore. I'm gonna decide this person is canceled. Who exactly are you? And who put you in that position? Did Allah Azza wa Jal give you that responsibility? So humble yourself and don't put yourself to be judge, jury, and executioner. The next point, point number seven. Who gets to decide what is a sin and what isn't? Because here's another problem. The cancel culture has gone to extremes that are totally un-Islamic. And a person might say something that is fully Islamic, but the culture will be canceling of him. And the best example for this is morality, sexuality, LGBT, trans, all of these issues, right? The most famous author of children's books, J.K. Rowling. She has been canceled for saying, gasp here, there's something called a man and there's something called a woman. For saying this, and she is the only author who is a billionaire because of her books. She was the most famous author and the most respected author. And she is a feminist. No, she herself is a self-proclaimed feminist. But she says, I believe in two genders. This has caused her, as if you're probably aware, to be completely canceled. She is not welcome on any campuses anymore. She does not have any speaking engagements. Her life has been threatened. She has armed guards at times when she goes out. So are we going to jump on this canceling culture? When something that might not even be a mistake is considered a mistake? Or how about the level of mistake? Again, let's be a little bit real here. Sometimes somebody makes a small mistake, and for whatever reason, certain people exaggerate it and make it much larger than this. For example, somebody might be caught, let's say, you know, flirting with a lady. That's not appropriate. But then to equate flirtation with, let's say, rape, say, oh, this person is molesting women. Use some intelligence. What is the sin that this person is accused of? Don't let emotions cloud you. What is the level of guilt that this person has? So the problem of the cancellation culture, there is no nuance, black and white. And literally what the sharia might call a minor sin, it is exaggerated to become literally in the eyes of those that are canceling worse than shirk. They will treat a mushrik better than they will somebody who has engaged in a minor sin, because in their eyes, that minor sin is worse, according to them, than even the sin of shirk. Subhanallah, once again, we have our sharia, and we have to be nuanced and not be emotional here. So the level and gradation of shirk, of sin. What is the level of sin? And the final point, inshallah ta'ala, here, and again, much more, but these are some points that I came to mind. The final point here. One of the biggest problems of the cancellation culture is the sheer level of arrogance that the person has, that that person demands the rest of the world must agree with me and my interpretation. If you don't cancel the one whom I've canceled, what's going to happen to you? You get canceled as well. Tasalsul al-cancellations. Huh? We have tasalsul al-cancellations. Okay? Domino effect. If you don't cancel the one whom I've canceled, and if you have a slightly different opinions, then this means, khalas, you are yourself evil. You are, subhanallah. And I swear to you, this mentality, it is one of the most dangerous mentalities when you apply it within the Islamic circle, because this is what happens here. That you don't agree with me, that my you know what, honestly, here's the Islamic point, right? If you think a certain person is bad, don't listen to him. That simple. Wallahi, it's not that complicated. Nobody's forcing you. If you think this person is beyond the realm of acceptability, okay, no problem. Don't listen. Your friend, your colleague might disagree with your assessment. Feel free to go back and forth. In the end, they're not convinced. Okay? They have the right to have a different assessment than you. And you have no right to force your assessment on the other person. If you don't like a particular person, you think a person has wronged or a person, khalas, don't listen. But you cannot and you have no right to become judge, jury, executioner and say to the rest of the world, all of you, you have no right as well to listen to any talk of this person. And if they do listen, oh, this means you must support rape. You must support shirk. You must support kufr. Subhanallah. Wallahi, again, the level of, and this mentality, by the way, we find it in the extremists, like the Kharijites, like the ISIS. I'm not saying the cancel culture is Kharijite, but the mentality of tasalsul al-tabdir, the mentality of, if you don't agree with me, then you're evil. That mentality, we find it in all extremist groups. The sign of extremism, you don't tolerate diversity of opinion. This is the sign of extremism, right? And we find this within the cancellation culture. So, end of the day, cancellation culture wreaks havoc in society and it causes disunity amongst the ranks of any group. And unfortunately, it has caused disunity in our own ranks as well. And unfortunately, if we allow this to go rampant, we actually lose the ability to think critically. We just become like sheep following what other people say. Now, is all cancellation culture wrong? No, obviously not. We don't want to invite, you know, the Abu Jahl equivalent. We don't want to invite somebody who's an Abu Jahl, somebody who's like a torturer and a killer of Muslims and whatnot. We don't want to invite them and honor them. But at the same time, let's be real here. How often do we actually have to face somebody like this? Also, key point here, context is crucial. Context is very crucial. Why are you sending this invitation? What is the goal? What is the setup here? I'll tell you something that happened with us here at Epic. That was 2 years ago. We invited the chief of police. Tomorrow we're having the mayor. We invited the chief of police here of Plano, right? And we invited him. I didn't invite him. The board did, but I was on the panel. It wasn't my decision, but as usual, not that I am against it, but as usual, I become the target online just because I'm present here. Again, tasalsul al-cancellations, right? We invited the chief of police, and the board said, you interviewed the chief of police. I said, okay, khalas, we'll interview him, because there was a whole national outrage of police brutality, of what's happening, of, you know, George Floyd, all of this happening, right? Alhamdulillah, in Plano, we've never had anything like this. And our chief of police, this one, has no track record of anything like this, you know, very clean, whatnot. And that's what he's trying to say, that Plano, we're a role model, we're trying to prevent this. We put him on the spot, and we asked him point blank, that, hey, look, you need to explain why this is happening, you need to explain our rights when we see this happening. It was not a nice interview. You know, and it wasn't nasty either, because we want to show him some respect. It was a fair interview that we're trying to get to the root of the problem. Subhanallah, online campaign against Epic Masjid. epic masjid is supporting the killing of George Floyd. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yani the level of foolishness, right? How foolish can you be? You have sided with the murderers against the innocent people. This is the problem of cancellation, that they lose rationality. Look, we in the end of the day, we have to engage with the police. May Allah protect all of us. If your family is attacked, your home is attacked, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? You're going to call the police. What else are you going to do? 911, right? We might disagree with a lot of things going on. In the end of the day, our philosophy, we have to work with what we have and try to make it better. Feel free to disagree. Wallahi, if you think it's a big problem to invite the chief of police, good for you. Don't come. Don't listen to the interview. But to then claim that epic masjid and Yasir Qadhi is supporting the police murders, this is what the cancellation culture does. And I don't want to give it to more examples, but you get the asal here, that this is the problem now when you bring in this notion of guilt by association, which has nothing to do with Islam. Guilt by association has nothing to do with Islam. If I'm sitting next to you, doesn't mean I agree with everything you're saying. Even if I invite you on my platform for another cause, we're inviting the mayor here of Plano. I don't know his private life and I don't care. He's coming as the mayor. He's coming as our elected representative. He might have some policies I disagree with. Okay, now is that time to challenge him. Now somebody might do a Google research. Oh, this mayor has said X. And Yasir Qadhi has invited him. I didn't, the board did, but no problem. I'm going to be here still. Yasir Qadhi invited him. This means he supports X. This means Yasir Qadhi is munafiq kafir. Subhanallah. Do you understand how foolish and how divisive and how much it's against our sharia? So bottom line, brothers and sisters, the cancel culture, the way that it has developed, 90% of it, 95% of it is un-Islamic. There's a small kernel that once in a while, yes, if it is applied wisely, if it is applied to actual evil people whom we universally agree, this is an evil person. And even then, if somebody has a different perspective of that person and invites them for another reason or cause, khair, you don't agree. And you say, I disagree strongly, but you cannot extrapolate that that person is agreement with the evil. This is against our religion. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom to see the truth as truth and to see falsehood as falsehood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, to be able to forgive, to be able to cover up, to be able to have husna dhan, to be able to overlook, to be able to not be of those who are constantly finding mistakes in others and to concentrate on our own mistakes before the mistakes of others. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll see you without any cancellations, inshallah, for a very important event here. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.